bits of paper together. I'm losing one already. Not doing very well. Well, it's good to be with you and to be able to share this Sunday morning service. So as already been said, I'm part of the GBM radio team, have been so for some 20 years time now, and my role is as the main producer and presenter of the Serving Today radio program, a program that, as I said earlier, provides support for pastors and church leaders, mainly across Africa, but beyond as well. So most of these pastors haven't been to Bible college, so they haven't had any training, they haven't got any books, if any at all, to help them preach and teach God's word, and that's where Serving Today comes in. It's a kind of Bible school of the airwaves, and it's been going for the last 22 years, and this week, Lord willing, I will be starting to produce edition 1100, so a bit of a milestone there. The main broadcasts are of Serving Today continue on TWR Africa, Transworld Radio Africa, and as I mentioned earlier, they reach mainly Western and Southern Africa. This involves airings on medium wave, but TWR also run a few very good FM networks in places like Malawi and Eswatini, what used to be called Swaziland, and they also have a channel on satellite TV. So they're there on a variety of platforms. I think it's also worth mentioning, I said earlier that the potential audience is 600 million. Well, of course, any radio producer would die for that kind of listening total. But it is estimated that around 65% of the total population of Africa regularly listen to the radio. And that is still allowing for the growth in access to the internet and the increasing use of smartphones. So radio is still very much the dominant media across Africa. Last year, my colleague Paul Brunning, I don't know if Paul's been to, he's been here, good. So Paul was able to visit South Africa, and he was able to meet our partners at TWR Africa, because TWR have their main office just outside Johannesburg. And while he was there, he did an interview for Prayer Waves, which some of you may have heard, with Karen Barkhosen, who's there in the picture with him. She heads up the liaison with listeners, and she is very enthusiastic about Serving Today, and she explained why TWR consider it to be such an important part of their schedule.
I need to start by saying Serving Today is a teaching program for the pastor. It's a teaching program for the lay pastor, for the person who has a small group, who's maybe leading something at church, who just needs an additional help, may it be a Bible study, may it be an answer to something. And we've also seen that there are pastors who do not have that degree of education, but who are now able to lean on programming that they're hearing. Serving Today is at the top when it comes to that.
In the interview, Karen went on to explain how TWR use the other resources that we supply them with, namely the booklets, to accompany each series, and how these are used to support pastors practically. So let's hear what she then went on to say to Paul.
When the pastor writes to us and says, "My church has fallen apart after COVID. How do I rebuild my church?" And we take them to material that we know Derek French or many other people within Serving Today has created, and it's still taking them, that pastor, back to that relationship with God, and they can start building from there on.
Karen also talked about how she and the team use Serving Today resources to respond more widely to general queries and requests for support from their listeners.
I must tell you that we do not only use the Serving Today material directly for queries from the Serving Today or about Serving Today. So somebody may write to us and say, "I am a pastor and I need to be learning more about Revelation. I need to be telling my congregation about Revelation. What better place to go to than serving today? Because there is Bible teaching there that takes you as the pastor, step by step through it. You are learning as the pastor, and in turn, the pastor is teaching that congregation. So there's a pastor that's in one of the suburbs close to Johannesburg who, his English is not very good. He also does not have a degree. So he is pastoring a church because he's received the Lord in his life, because he has a Bible, because he needs to be sharing the word with people, and he has become a pastor. We are able, I won't say me, but we are able to give him material, not only teaching him about the Bible, but teaching him how to run a church.
So it's so encouraging to hear how appreciated serving today is by our colleagues at TWR. In recent years, we, in addition to all the listeners that we reach through the radio, the conventional broadcast, we've also been reaching an increasing number of pastors and church leaders directly through personal recommendation, through word of mouth, and through social media such as Facebook. And subscribers can now access Serving Today resources in a variety of formats. We currently contact around 450 individuals who receive the program straight to their email inbox every week. A further receive 300 receive Serving Today e-booklets from the back catalogue. That's once a month. And in addition to that, we typically print around 500 copies of each new Serving Today booklet. So through Serving Today, we have the privilege of being in direct contact with around 1,000 pastors and church leaders week by week, in addition to the many more listeners who will never know of this side of glory. Now, one of these pastors is Charles from Malawi, and Charles organises a listeners' club in his church, which means that he takes his phone, he puts it down at the front of the church, and he plays the latest edition of Serving Today. And in all the photos that Charles sends us, he always has this lovely beaming smile. And then there's Gideon from Nigeria. Don't have a picture of Gideon, but he runs a wide-ranging gospel ministry. And he recently told us that he was asked to share the word for the office staff for 5 days in that particular week. And he said, "My topic was patience. My text was Habakkuk chapters 1 and 2. Your message was very helpful in this sharing. Thank you so much." Two Serving Today series of significance have been aired over the last year. One was evangelistic preaching. The other was poverty and prosperity. Poverty and prosperity addressed the dangers of the prosperity gospel, which, as I'm sure you'll know, is absolutely rife across Africa. It's a really big problem. If you were to listen to the evangelistic preaching series, which, by the way, you can do that on our website, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed. I'll give the details of that at the end. You may think this is all a little bit basic, and for well-churched Western Christians, it may well be. But the situations into which Serving Today speaks, this is far from being the case. And the response has been very positive, very encouraging in response to the ideas and suggestions for preaching the gospel in a variety of ways. And interestingly, as one of our key contacts from South India pointed out to us, he said there's an important link to be made between the evangelistic preaching material and the poverty and prosperity content. This is what our brother Karuna said to us. He said, "Evangelistic messages are based on prosperity doctrine, thinking that it will attract hearers to respond immediately and so multiply the church." And then here's Karen one last time to tell us how important the poverty and prosperity content is for the African context.
Hugely crucial. I'm actually already thinking that I'm going to be pushing this. There is just so much abuse of people. Poor people who are really just at the end of their tether, that they just know they've been abused for so long. And then there is a person who says they're a man of God, who then just abuses them further. It's going to be an amazing tool in our hands. It's going to be so relevant.
Other material that we've covered has been the priesthood of all believers, the gifts of the Spirit, and a survey of the minor prophets. Now, in this Bible survey series, what we do is we give an overview of each book of the Bible. We summarize its main themes. We offer one or two sermon suggestions on some of the key texts. And in fact, this series on the minor prophets marks another big milestone in the Serving Today schedule, as it brings to an end this long-running survey of the Old Testament with some 235 episodes over the last 22 years. Booklet production is one of several ways that we make Serving Today resources available beyond the original broadcast. My wife, Maria, I'll mention in a minute, she used to be, before joining the Serving Today team, she used to be a modern languages teacher. And she said, when you prepare a lesson as a teacher, you don't just deliver it once. You reuse that material in lots of different ways over long periods of time. And the same is true for Serving Today resources. So we prepare booklets from original Serving Today scripts, and then we send them as hard copies or via email to our listeners. And we have a small number of contacts who are able and keen to translate these booklets into local African languages. And in this way, Serving Today is reaching an even wider audience. And in fact, just at this point in time, we're thinking through how we can get Serving Today content translated into Swahili, and that's something we'd very much value your prayers for. Serving Today listeners often tell us just how useful these follow-up resources are, and as I've mentioned, for many, these booklets are all that they have to help them with sermon preparation. So new booklets in the last year have included the evangelistic preaching, the survey of the minor prophets, and we've just not long finished preparing a booklet called Money, Finance and Work, which aired just over in the last year, and it looks at the subjects of money and financial planning from the perspective of the book of Proverbs. And we did that with the help of Graham Jones, who's probably known to some of you. He's a fellow GBM missionary in Western Kenya. The organization Equipping Pastors Worldwide, which again some of you may be familiar with, they've also distributed quantities of Serving Today booklets to their own network of pastors and church leaders across Africa and Asia. And it was a real privilege to be at their Thanksgiving Day earlier this year, and to be able to meet Jumbe Josta in person, who is their coordinator in Malawi. We've been sending Serving Today resources to Josta for a number of years now, and he's a really key person with a wide-ranging training ministry across Malawi, Mozambique, and also into some parts of Zambia. Now, in order to keep the schedule ticking forwards, you have to get new content. So new content is at various stages of development, with recordings made on the subject of discovering lament. That one starts airing at the end of next month, so at the end of the year. And in fact, if you want a preview of that particular series, in the latest edition of the GBM Herald magazine, there is a preview of the first series at the end there on page 24. And I've brought some extra copies of these if anybody wants to take one of those away. Other new material has included How We Got Our Bible, Preaching God's Word, the 5 points of Calvinism. We've launched into a series about preaching Romans. That one will keep us going for a while. Preaching Job. So most of these will air over the next few years or so. Now, did anybody here go to the GBM Afflington summer camp? No. Okay. So you won't have heard James Hammond, who's also a fellow GBM missionary. He gave the morning Bible talks on the book of Judges, and James has agreed to record his content as a series for Serving Today. We hope to be doing that early next year, and work on adapting his talks into Serving Today scripts is already well underway, because what you have to remember is that talking or speaking on the radio is not the same as talking to a room full of people, because generally when you're talking on the radio, you're talking to one person at a time. So it's a very different medium. Another series that was recorded recently and is currently being broadcast is a short introduction to the Nicene Creed. It's been in the news a bit this week, hasn't it, with the 1700th anniversary since this was put together. Now, looking at all of that content, for me, that presents a little bit of a challenge when it comes to mapping out which series goes with what in each program, because generally, each program is 13 minutes, 10 seconds long, and we generally have two series going on concurrently. So you've got to decide what goes with what, and if you've got some monologues in the first part of the program, you don't want another monologue in the second part of the program, you want some dialogue. So again, that's something I'd value prayer for. Serving Today is very much a team effort. So I'm the main producer and main presenter, and my wife, Maria, performs a variety of admin support tasks. And one particular thing that she's been doing for the last few years has been reformatting the back catalogue of Serving Today booklets to make them more friendly for use on mobile devices. And she's coming to the end of the Serving Today booklets, and then she's got to start on another series of booklets of a programme called Sound Words that used to be produced in the past. It no longer is, but we still have the archive that we can make available. I certainly don't create all of that content myself, so it's good that we have Colin Grimwood as a writer and editor, and he brings with him many years of preaching and pastoral experience. And in fact, he's just returned from a training visit to Tanzania, and that picture there was taken when he was in a place called Mbeya. He was teaching on Romans to a group of Pentecostal pastors, and his talks were really well received, and they asked lots of good questions. In the second week, he went on to another place called Sangarama, where he was teaching at a seminary run by Reverend Elisha. Elisha has been in contact with us since COVID. It's great that Colin is able to travel and to meet those who kind of represent the Serving Today audience, something that I'm personally unable to do due to family circumstances. Finally, if you would like to listen to Serving Today, you can do that by going to the GBM website there, gbm.org.uk/listen. That takes you straight to the radio search page. Or you can search for and subscribe to the GBM Media Podcast. We release new episodes of Serving Today every Friday morning at 9 o'clock. There are other things related to GBM that appear on that feed as well. And then if you are able to, there are on the table outside, there's a plastic box with some packages of radio booklets that need to be posted to our listeners. So the idea is you take a package. The amount of postage to be paid is written in the top right corner. You take that to the post office and send it on its way. There are also some little slips of paper that explain exactly what you need to do and what you need to ask for. So make sure you take one of those as well. So thank you for your welcome. Thank you for your prayers. And thank you for your support. Well, we're going to come to God's word now. And maybe you'd like to have that passage that Mark read to us from John chapter 10. Before we do that, let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that through it you reveal yourself to us. We ask that you would for the help of your Spirit to speak to us each where we are. We ask, Lord, you would encourage and strengthen us in our faith, we pray. For we ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. When you are a leader, you lead the way. Not just on the easy ones, you take the tough ones too. A good leader has to understand the people that are under him, understand their needs, their desires, or how they think. He always made the right decisions along the way. He was a real soldier. Some of the officers, I don't think I'd follow them into water, but he was one of the best. He went right in there, never thought of not being first or sending somebody else in his place. I don't know how he survived, but he did. Now, those of you who are familiar with the World War II TV drama Band of Brothers might recognize those words spoken by some of the veterans of Easy Company, part of the U.S. paratrooper regiment that was led by Captain Dick Saunders. They were one of the first assault groups to parachute into Normandy on the night of the 5th to the 6th of June 1944. From a human standpoint, Captain Dick Winters was a superlative example of a brave, decisive, compassionate, and all-round good leader. In his gospel, the Apostle John wants us to see, he wants us to understand, he wants us to trust in Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And by using Jesus' own words, John shows us that Jesus is a greater, unfailing, loving, and a faithful leader compared to other would-be shepherds. According to John, Jesus is the only one worth following, the only one worth submitting to, the only leader that we should serve. And through the I Am statements that are recorded in John's Gospel, Jesus is revealing that he is God himself. When he says, I am, he is of course referring back to Exodus chapter 3, when God speaks to Moses out of the burning bush. And earlier in John's Gospel, towards the end of chapter 8, speaking in this way had brought Jesus into direct conflict with the Jewish religious leaders who, when he declared to be I am, they picked up stones to stone him. On that occasion, he gives them the slip. Yet Jesus doesn't shy away from his mission. He doesn't let somebody else take over and step into his sandals. That mission was and is through the Gospel of John to show us the true heart of God. And from the passage that we read, there are two main lessons that I'd like to highlight. The first is this. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is not like other shepherds. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is not like other shepherds. That's verses 11 to 13. Jesus sets a contrast between himself and the religious leaders who had power and authority. Jesus compares them to hired hands. They say they do all the right things, but they do not have the people's best interests at heart. In fact, they only care about themselves. And that was true in Jesus' day, and it had been a sad pattern repeated through Israel's history. In the Old Testament, there's a stinging attack on the woeful shepherds of Israel in Ezekiel, where they are sharply criticized for being self-serving, self-interested, and lacking any concern for the people, especially for the scattered sheep of Israel. These days, we would call this a gross dereliction of duty and care. So Jesus is making a direct comparison with the words of the prophet Ezekiel and the Pharisees. They knew the scriptures. They would understand that the hired hand who cares nothing for the sheep was Jesus talking about them. And they were disgraceful failures as leaders. They did not deserve the positions that they held on to so tightly. By contrast, verses 11 and 12 of John 10 tell us that Jesus is the perfect leader. Jesus is the good shepherd because he does not behave like those other leaders. He doesn't run away in the face of danger. He is personally invested in the ones that he leads. Jesus isn't in it for his own self-preservation. He doesn't help himself to what is in fact his by rights. No. He cares deeply about his sheep, more deeply than we can ever imagine. Jesus cares deeply about each and every believer here this morning. He cares about the fact that you may be having a hard time at work or at home. He cares about that difficult relationship. He cares because he loves his people. After all, love is at the very centre, is at the very heart of who God is. The Lord Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and he is not like other shepherds. He is as different to them as night from day. There is no comparison. Can I ask those of us who are believers, are you entrusting yourself to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, daily? He is the only one worthy of your trust. Or are you trusting in the hired hands, those who don't really care about you, those who have no thought of your eternal well-being? And there is a clear warning here, isn't there? For anyone who is in a position of leadership in church, in the workplace, in the home, that we don't follow that miserable example of failing to truly care for those entrusted to us. Or even worse, of taking advantage of those in our care. And it has to be acknowledged that in recent years within the wider evangelical church, there have been instances where leaders have failed catastrophically in their care of those entrusted to them. And this has left people traumatized. And if that applies to anyone here and you haven't already done so, can I encourage you to seek out someone that you trust and to talk it through? And if you are not a believer, who are you trusting in? Yourself? Your own judgment? Those that you look up to in the media? Can I urge you to entrust yourself to Jesus the Good Shepherd, the only one worthy of trust? Jesus the Good Shepherd is not like other shepherds. The other main lesson is that Jesus is the Good Shepherd because he lays down his life for us. That's verses 14 to 18. Jesus is the Good Shepherd because he lays down his life for us. And there are three reasons given here. Reason number one, he lays down his life so that we can know him. That's verse 14. He makes it possible for his sheep to know him because he deals with our greatest need. He deals with the problem of our sin. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, laid down his life for the sheep to bring us, those who were scattered, back into the fold, to reunite us to himself so that we can know him. We didn't go seeking after him, but in his grace and mercy, he took on the punishment for our sin. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life so that we can enjoy the same relationship that God the Father that Jesus enjoys with God the Father and has always enjoyed with God the Father. We are brought into that same relationship with God. What a privilege that is for those of us who are trusting in Jesus the Good Shepherd to be brought into that intimate, that close knowledge of God the Son and God the Father. I know my sheep and my sheep know me just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Jesus lays down his life for us so that we can know him intimately. That's the first reason that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life for us. Here's the next reason. By declaring, "I am the Good Shepherd," Jesus is saying that he is the covenant-keeping God. He is the very fulfillment of two key promises from the Old Testament. The first one is the promise that God would send another David, a shepherd king. This promise was made through the prophet Ezekiel about 400 years after David had died and 600 years before the birth of Christ. And towards the end of Ezekiel chapter 34, the Lord says in verse 23, "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd." And at the end of verse 16 of John 10, Jesus says that there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, fulfills that promise made in Ezekiel chapter 34. God has kept his word, Jesus is saying. God is being faithful to the covenants that he has made throughout Israel's history. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is God keeping his word. But also in verse 16, Jesus lays down his life because there is another promise to be fulfilled, one that was made even earlier than the promise made in Ezekiel about a shepherd king. More than 2,000 years before the birth of Christ, God told Abraham that through him all peoples would be blessed. Now, a few moments ago, we were thinking about the radio work, and it's a real privilege to be involved in some way in the mission of Jesus the Good Shepherd. In the specific case of producing the Serving Today program, that means real support for church leaders in their ministry. And together, we can all be involved in helping these hard-pressed, resource-poor under-shepherds in their ministry so that they can be leaders who follow the example of Jesus the Good Shepherd. So again, when Jesus, the Good Shepherd, says he lays down his life for these other sheep, he is saying that God is faithfully delivering on the promises made centuries earlier to Israel's patriarch. And if you are part of God's family by faith, you are living proof of God's faithfulness, that he carries out the promises that he has made in his word. And as a result of that promise made to Abraham, there's a multiracial, a multinational, a multi-ethnic, a multilingual people that came into being on the day of Pentecost and continues to grow through the work of God, the Holy Spirit. There is one flock under one shepherd, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Is that how we see ourselves? In response to Jesus the Good Shepherd, do we actively seek to keep that precious unity, that oneness of the flock for which he laid down his life? So we've seen that Jesus lays down his life so that we can know him intimately. And Jesus lays down his life in fulfillment of the promises of God. The third and final reason Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life is because God is gracious and merciful. That's verses 17 and 18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. He lays down his life and he does so voluntarily. It was God's will. It was God's intention that he should lay it down for the sheep. And there is no contradiction between Jesus, the Son of God, submitting to God the Father's will, and Jesus, the Good Shepherd, voluntarily subjecting himself to death on a cross. At the detailed, granular level, our attention might be on the human drama of those involved in bringing about the death of Jesus, the Jewish leaders, Pilate, Judas, the crowd. The greater and bigger picture, however, is that Jesus' death was very much part of God's plan as he submitted to the Father's will. If Jesus' death was down just to the scheming of the Jews or the Romans or his betrayer, then salvation would have a human element to it. It wouldn't be entirely from God. Salvation, in the Bible's terms, is all of God's grace. Salvation is to the praise of God's glory alone. Salvation is only and exclusively the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. No human decision or will or intention or scheme or plan achieved this. Only God. And this brings us to the heart of who God is. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life because there is no other way for his sheep to be saved from going astray and from being scattered. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep because no one else can truly protect them. The leaders of Israel didn't, wouldn't, couldn't. So Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is the only one who can truly save, truly protect, and provide for his sheep. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, shows us how much he loves his sheep, his people, that he is for his people, that he is committed to his people. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, shows us how gracious he is, not treating us as our sins rightly deserve. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, shows us how merciful, how kind God is to his dearly beloved people. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, just shows us how forgiving and how patient God is. God remains pure and holy, and we are sinful. But that's the whole point, isn't it? Only God can do anything to save us from our sin. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, then, is not like other shepherds. And Jesus is the Good Shepherd because he lays down his life for his sheep. What is our response to Jesus, the Good Shepherd? Is it similar to how the Jews responded in verses 19 to 21? Is it dismissive of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, as a self-deluded lunatic? I sincerely hope not. I sincerely hope that you will trust in him, in his love, in his faithfulness, in his grace, in his mercy. I sincerely hope that each and every one of us will entrust ourselves to Jesus, the good shepherd, the one who is gentle and lowly, the one whose heart is full of love and compassion, to do what the Apostle Peter tells us in that verse, that we can never stop coming back to often enough, to cast all our anxiety on him, on Jesus the Good Shepherd, because he cares for you. In verse 21 of John 10, we find out another thing about Jesus the Good Shepherd, which is that he is glorious and powerful. This is a reference to the healing of the man born blind in the previous chapter of John. Why had this happened, the disciples had asked. And Jesus replied, this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is the only one worth trusting, the only one worth listening and following, because he's strong, because he is powerful, yet full of kindness of love, because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life for his sheep. Amen.